Shannon Cochran, of course, you are a distinguished stage actress with a surprisingly large career in genre films and television, sci-fi and horror. So what's it like to bring that distinguished stage resume to an onstage horror story?
It's so strange.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 985, Shannon Cochran's Paranormal. Look, I don't want to bury the lead, so let me just say right up front that the new stage production, Paranormal Activity, is absolutely fantastic, and you should drop everything and see it wherever you can. It's a new story based on the successful film franchise, written by Levi Holloway and directed by Felix Barrett, the founding artistic director of the UK-based Punch Drunk Theatre, who conceived and directed the site-specific Sleep No More, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. Paranormal Activity is playing at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater until November 2nd, and then it's moving on to the Amundsen Theater in LA in November, then to the Shakespeare Theater Company in DC in January, and finally ACT in San Francisco in February and March. Friend of the pod Shannon Cochran is one of the four actors on stage, and though she's appeared on Broadway in August Osage County and in theaters in Chicago and around the country in plays and comedies and musicals, her TV and film career has been defined by her work on many episodes of various Star Trek series and her role as the mysterious Anna Morgan in the 2002 horror film The Ring. Shannon was good enough to talk to me on her day off earlier this week about how her screen work informs her new stage role.
This has only been put together for me recently that suddenly it's determined that I have a lot of horror credits. You know? And yeah. So I keep looking for the thread. Why me? Why would I be in these things? And I can't find a serious thread, but someone said to me, you are a naturally open presenting person. You present friendliness and warmth because you are from the South. And so when we first see you and meet you, you are presenting as someone we could trust or we could listen to or we could understand. And it's from years of selling, you know, Alpo, I guess. But but then you also have this other side, which when you turn it slightly on its ear, this persona that you present, it can really be upsetting and kind of creepy, because you suddenly seem, there's something outsized about who you are that can really be turned to for evil purposes.
That's really interesting, because I 100% agree with how friendly you present, because in fact, we first met because I had seen you in A Little Night Music and I accosted you on a train platform, just a fanboy over you, and you didn't immediately call for
security. Run away. Yes.
You asked me to sit with you on the train. But that thing you're talking about is like, that's the whole thing behind like Stephen King and David Lynch, is right. There's the darkness behind the facade, behind everybody's friendly presentation.
That's right. That's right. That every one of us has demonic qualities, you know, hidden under the surface that we work in our everyday life to suppress, you know. And we've agreed, we have a tacit civilized agreement that we're not going to let our own demons just walk freely, you know?
Right. And it's such a great sort of acting storytelling lesson, is that you don't play the ending. You don't reveal the cards at the end. And in fact, one thing that this play does so well, almost to a fault, is underplay all the banality of this lead couple's relationship, almost to the point where it's like, all right, clock's ticking, you guys. When's the shit gonna go down?
Yeah.
but on purpose. And then when the shit does go down, it goes down hard and so satisfyingly. I can't, I really, D and I haven't driven home from a serious play, and I can't remember when, that we have discussed and dissected so much.
That's really good to hear, because I at first thought this is a kid's show for, this is like people who like a jump scare.
Yeah.
People who, but I have drunk the Kool-Aid and now believe that it's this kind of, you know, it's this kind of, it's kind of like the rallies. It brings people together for a common purpose. And the fact that you're sharing it with the other people live together, yeah, feeding off each other in whatever emotional state you are in, is something that since the beginning of time, man has sought. So it turns out that maybe we need these kinds of gatherings in the dark. Now, the movies would argue that that's what that's for, because movies, if you see them in the theater, they will tell you, the producer, the movie owners will tell you that everything should be seen on the big screen. You shouldn't be seeing this at home. You should see it with other people.
Yeah,
they're not wrong,
right?
In a sense, that this is meant to be a shared thing.
Well, and I thought I thought there was nothing better than doing what I do, which is to do these stage comedies and make a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of strangers laugh in a room. Well, it turns out it making people scream and jump and then laugh in a room is even better.
Also good. Also good.
Really good. Yes.
Yeah. I love that they can live just right up next to each other, too.
Yeah.
Man, and I keep wondering, is this was a British conceit. I mean, Levi is an American who wrote it, but the British idea, Punch Drunk's idea, as it was described to me, is we're not here to do giant giant haunted house. We're here to give you a sense of creeping dread, and if things happen in the course of that time that you just see out of the corner of your eye, that's actually desirable. They'd rather you not see something head on.
Yeah.
Because none of it is meant to be, except with a couple of exceptions that I won't, none of it is meant to be so terribly overt.
No.
So that you go home in the car and say, did he? Was I wrong, or did he? Did you see upstairs? There was that.
Were we supposed to see that? Just that glimpse of something becomes even scarier. You're right. Seeing something head on,
and then a whole section of this place will darken, and you think something bad's coming out of there.
Well, he pulled back that shower curtain twice, and I thought, oh, for sure, there's going to be a third, and there never was, and I was told that there used to be a third.
That is exactly right.
And there used to be a third, and this is the other thing I love about this piece. You were saying, oh, that this is kids' theater for grown-ups, which is how I've described the Reduced Shakespeare Company, kids' theater for grown-ups. Yeah. And I was explaining extolling the virtues of this play to friends of mine, and I said, look, it's not high art, but the artistry with which this story is told is of the highest quality. And that the change of the ending, the change of certain moments, has just, what the little bits I've heard has just emphasized to me the artistry and the precision with which you guys and the creative personnel are refining every single moment of the play for its maximum impact.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a series of little dial turns as this progresses.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like, don't press on that too hard, because we don't want to lead the audience to think such and such.
Right.
You know, pull back on this, or, you know, let's make sure that this doesn't go creepy. This is actually just an extension of where you were. It's like, come into the play, no matter who you are, with the best of intentions as a character.
Right. With the right. And it's not Rocky Horror. It's not campy. It's not a send up. It's not a parody. It is a play. It's a play like you see in so many theaters, large and small, in Chicago and across the world. It's a play. But holy crap, the things that happen in this play are extraordinary.
Yeah. They just said they wanted it to be a series of minor rug pulls.
Mm.
So that the two or three things would be, oh my God.
Yeah.
But most of it would be, oh, I thought it was going to be this and then it was nothing. Or, or that everything you think it will be a different size than it turns out to be.
Hi, it's Susan Stamberg at National Public Radio. Guess what you're listening to? The ridiculous, no, it's a reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we're performing All the Great Books Abridged this Thursday night, October 23rd, at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. Then in December, we'll perform The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd, in Olympia on December 4th, and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th, as well as the Reeser Center in Beaverton, Oregon on December 10th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Shannon Cochran, talking about her time both on stage and backstage in Paranormal Activity. As you alluded to, your part is one of the two smaller roles. Are you getting many novels written while you're backstage?
Yes. I'm reading the great works of the canon, and I'm going to try all of the most difficult embroidery stitches that there have ever been invented. And, I do make Christmas wreaths from scratch out of found objects every year. This really is true. And so I'm just going to bring my workshop to Los Angeles and make my Christmas wreaths there. That'll be a Los Angeles project.
Well, that's the other great thing about this whole Paranormal Activity. It's like a four-theater rolling North American premiere, right? Long
that's
gig
right.
for you.
It is a long gig with lots of time off in between.
Oh, okay.
And I think they're going to discover that teching in different theaters may be more of a challenge than they even realize.
Have scheduled for.
Yes. You know, there's a kind of loose quality where I think, so you guys know exactly how this is all going to fit in the next theater?
Yeah.
We're sitting in the yard, which I probably doesn't seat 1,000 people.
Okay.
And we're going to the Amundsen, which is almost 2,000.
Wow.
How's that going to play? Will the size of certain objects be large enough for that big venue?
Well, and you're going to ACT in San Francisco, which in my memory does not have a proscenium that's as wide as the yard's proscenium. So maybe the kitchen is narrower or something?
I don't know. I don't know how they solved that, because the lighting is fixed very specifically. And it's going to be an adventure.
You're backstage a lot. Do you get to and also you're on stage for another great audience response. Do you hear different things, different audiences on different nights, or is the reaction pretty uniform?
No, it definitely has varied widely. I think a matinee crowd is often at CST subscribers.
Yeah.
They may be a little older. I think they're probably no less engaged, but they don't have quite the visceral kind of vocal react. I mean, there are people who seem to erupt in a kind of, not just a scream or a shout, but like a kind of hysterical laughter that they can't stop, that they can't believe they got punked like that, and then they can't recover from it, you know.
Right.
And that tends to be when groups are there together. You can hear them sharing it in a small group with their friends, you know.
They sat Dee and I near some of where the actors in the next Chicago Shakes production of Much Ado About Nothing were sitting. So we were chatting with them. So we were an unofficial impromptu group.
Yeah.
And I know we were making a ton of noise.
I mean,
I literally went, oh, a couple of times. And I don't even know whether my microphone picked that up yet. But anyway.
I can't believe, you know, you could elicit that from seasoned adults.
indeed, hardened professionals. I mean, Mark Bedard, who we were sitting with, an actor who's in Much Ado About Nothing, was saying, I was just sitting there with a big dopey grin on my face the whole time. And I think it's because we knew we were sitting in, you were talking about the technical side of things. I mean,
right.
From the sound design, from everything to how underplayed everything was, how subdued everything was, we were clearly in the hands of some very assured storytellers. And it was thrilling to be brought along on that ride.
Crazy. He's very much, he was a fan of horror movies.
Levi.
And he pointed out, you know, examples all through the horror genre that just gave you a certain kind of feeling, much more so than actual performances or anything. It was more like just the tonal, what was the one of the ones, last one we watched was, the one with Carol Kane in it when she answers the phone and it's the voice is coming from inside the house. And just the opening credit, the opening of the thing, of her walking down a darkened street that, you know, where it's almost dark, but you can see black outlines of trees and street lamps, you know, walking to the house where she's going to babysit. And once she gets in the house, it's all brightly lit. But just her approach seems so vulnerable. You just thought, oh, something bad's going to happen to you.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Paranormal Activity plays at Chicago Shakespeare Theater until November 2nd, before moving on to the Amundsen Theater in LA from November 13th to December 7th, 2025, then to the Shakespeare Theater Company in Washington, D.C. from January 28th to February 7th, 2026, and then finally to the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco from February 19th to March 15th, 2026. Go to chicagoshakes.com, centertheatergroup.org, act-sf.org, or shakespearetheater.org for more information. Then send us your ghostly visitors via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespearience.com. Thanks as always to pretty goddamn scary himself, Matthew Croak. Web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Dr. Ian McCormick. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to National Public Radio founding mother Susan Stamberg, who passed away last week and who was an early supportive voice on this podcast. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 985 2955ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Did you work with some of these folks on Harry Potter and the Cursed Child before?
I did. Chris Fisher and Skylar Fox is his assistant, who was also on Harry Potter and taught many of the hands. He's a magician in his own right, so taught many of the actual hand illusions.
Wow.
Like if you had a book that flew open and, you know, talked to you, you had to know how to manipulate it without it looking like you were doing anything.
Right.
And so, and he taught me my illusion and worked with me. And then so, yes, those two guys were both on Harry Potter and were there for a large part of the tech of Harry Potter.
So that means this is not your first foray of bringing your distinguished stage to a career to this horribly popular pulp horror show.
Pulp horror. Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, I think maybe I've finally found my people.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.